Chapter 28. The rattle of the door handle jolts me awake. Didn't even know I was asleep, but I must have floated off. The broken chair jiggles about under the handle and I leap up, pulse racing as my mind flips into the real world.
Open up, blood.
Relief floods my veins as my foot slides away from the door. The voice is deep. It ain't Michaela come to shank me in my sleep. It's JJ. He breezes in, makes his way to the bed. What's good? I rub my eyes. My head's pounding like a dubstep beat. My brain finally wakes up and I work out what's going on. I reach down instinctively for the old crepe under the bed. Check the toes still solid with notes. I need to stop by Pops for a consignment. That's why JJ's come round. I used to go by myself, but these times it feels too risky. I'm taking on bigger amounts now, handing over more peas. People know my face on the strip. They know I'm shotting. Being a girl, I'm an easy target. I reckon Michaela's my biggest risk right now. We ain't crossed paths since that time in the yard, but it's coming. I feel it. That girl's losing bare business thanks to me. It's only a matter of time. I pull out a curl of notes, counting them on the bed and then pushing them deep in my pocket. I reach for the rickety chair and slump down for a second, pressing my fingers against my head to try and calm the thudding pulse. Then I get up again, too quickly, piling straight into JJ's chest. It's rock hard. I swear it feels like I just headbutted concrete.
What's up?
He says, looking at me like he knows something's wrong. I shake my head, like I'm fine. Just tired. We walk out the hostel on high alert, scanning the area for signs of trouble. Michaela ain't nowhere to be seen, just like last night and the night before. That makes me suspicious. I mean, maybe she's moved on to another ends. But I get the feeling she ain't the type just to walk away. Maybe she's waiting to catch me on my own.
How much you shifting, blood?
JJ looks at me. I keep walking, thinking about the last few days. Business is up and down. Some days it's 30 pebbles, some days it's less than 10. It ain't the type of job that comes with no guarantees. Business is booming, I say, wanting JJ to know I can stand on my own 2 feet. I want him to see I don't need no help from no one. Anyway, if I keep going like I am, keep getting quality food from Pops and turning Michaela's customers into mine, I'll be breezing a bill a week. No problem. Business will be booming. It ain't gangster peas, but it ain't minimum wage neither. We climb the steps and hang in the corridor, catching our breath and clocking the sound of raised voices and a TV inside. Pops don't live here. He just uses it to conduct his business. The crackhead he rents off still lives there, but it ain't exactly what you call living. She stays in her bedroom all day. I saw her once when she come crawling to collect her daily pebbles. Flannel tracksuit, greasy hair, sunken eyes. Honest to God, I don't know how much longer she's gonna be on this earth. Maybe Pops won't care if she dies. Maybe that's part of his plan. JJ knocks, and Thule, one of Pops' boys, opens up. He nods at me and bumps fists with JJ. That's why it's good to have JJ around. Everyone knows him these days. If you step to JJ, you're stepping to his soldiers in the Peckham crew. No one's gonna do that. There's hype in the air. I feel it as soon as we get inside. Then I see the cause. There's cussing and growling and words being thrown at this boy, Snaps, who I know from the road. He ain't the smartest, this boy, but it don't mean no harm. He's short and squat with a flattened face like someone's run at him with a brick.
Man's gonna make you pay, growls one of the elders.
It's a new whip, that's all, says Snaps, fronting it.
It's a Benz, that's what.
My eyes slide sideways to JJ. He don't look round, just carries on staring straight ahead like he's bored.
You don't cruise round in a Benz and expect to get left alone, spits the man. Maybe I don't want to get left alone. The boy shrugs. Big mistake. Pops appears from the back room, moving slowly. His eyes narrowed. Ain't no sign of the usual spark in his eye. I look at the floor, thinking, rah, maybe this is what they mean about Pops. Maybe this is where he flips.
You don't want to get left alone. He steps to the boy, towers over his ugly face. You want to bring the boy them to our door? Have them asking questions about where you get your money? Is that it?
Just then, one of the mandem catches my eye, takes me to one side and sorts me out with a packet. I pretend I can't hear what's going on in the kitchen. That's the best way. It's easier being a girl, because they think you ain't so clued up. I stuff the food in my tote and hand him the notes. JJ's still in the kitchen, still looking bored even though they got the boy up against the wall now, and there's grunting, and out of the corner of my eye I can see the glint of a blade. I guess JJ's seen worse. I guess he can blank himself off from it all. I just look at the floor as I pass through the door, keeping my tote close. Back on the street, JJ looks at me.
You should be careful, blood.
I shrug like it ain't no big deal. I'm good. They trust me. It's true. I'm tight with Pop's boys. I ain't missed a payment yet, and besides, I affiliate with the right people. JJ being with me is my way of reminding them of that. No way they're gonna mess with me.
They trust his snaps, too.
Yeah, well, I shrug. Try not to think about that. He slipped up.
Everyone slips, Alicia.
I shoot him a screw face. It ain't like JJ to be so cautious.
You need protection, he says.
My heart flips inside me at the word. I reckon I know what he's talking about, but I push out a laugh, hoping I got it wrong. I thought that was what you were there for, blood. JJ side-eyes me, his voice coming out all deep and low.
That ain't what I mean.
My heart's thumping now. Ain't no doubt what he means. He means stepping things up, switching my little blade for a piece. My thoughts skid back to the last stop and search, the time JJ split just in time with Rayman's thing tucked down his pants. A few seconds later and he wouldn't be here. I ain't risking that for myself. No way.
I can.
No, bruv.
What about?
Allow it! I look at him. I said no. My eyes drop to my feet and I feel this cloud of bad air follow us down the street. I know the boys carry guns. I know half of Pops' boys is strapped up, ready for trouble. It's protection, just like my tools for protection in my sock. But that's different. Blades is one thing, guns is another level. The long route between Pops and mine is all small roads that's clear of CCTV and patrols. But at some point you've got to cross the main road. As soon as we get close, I know something's up. There's too much noise on the street for this time of night. We both clock it at once. I look left and right, my eyes catching movement a few metres away out the front of Primark. There's a crowd, 5 man deep, jigging and pushing and holding up phones like they're at a club and they all want a piece of the DJ. Only it ain't a DJ in the middle of it all. It's this wiry old black man with matted dreads and a big leather rasta hat bellowing words into the half darkness. When the man is in charge on 6 houses and is worth how much billions and he's got people working for £5 an hour. The crowd squeezes in as more people get sucked in from the street. Black kids, white girls, old women with bags of plantain. A young mum with a kid on her hip and a couple of old yardie men chewing tobacco and nodding their heads as the yelling goes on. I look sideways at JJ. I know we need to keep moving, but I feel like there's this invisible force pulling us in. You know what I see? I see the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. That's what I see, man. That's what I see. A little cheer flares up in the crowd. Something shifts in my brain as I remember where I heard them words before. Deanna's place. Ash and Deanna were saying the exact same thing when they watched the news that time. I looked down the street, checking for signs of the boy them, trying not to think about that flat or the days I spent with baby Tisha. More people swarm round, changing their path as they try and walk past, lingering on the edge of the group and then finding themselves locked in as the next wave comes in behind. The pavement ain't big enough to hold everyone, so the crowd starts spilling onto the road. There's honking and yelling as the buses struggle to grind their way through. They say we're lazy, that we don't want to work, don't want to get jobs. The man looks around at his brethren, eyes wide. Well, I got a question for them. What jobs? Another cheer goes up, louder this time. My mind flips to the message I got from Miss Murfield this morning. More mail for you. Please don't give up, Alicia. Why not? Why shouldn't I give up when the facts is staring me in the face? This man might be crazy, but he's speaking the truth. There ain't no jobs. Not for the likes of me and JJ and countless of others. Sure, there's lists of jobs on the internet. There's interviews to go to. There's letters to open sometimes, but there ain't no jobs at the end of it. That's the bottom line. What's the point in keeping on banging my head against the brick wall when I know it ain't gonna budge? They say the youth's got to get out more, yells the man. Do more things. Be more active, you know? Well, you try telling that to the boys they put on tag for doing what boys do, yeah? Cooped up in a box like battery hen. Try telling that to the 7 foot youths in my estate who ain't got nowhere to go because they closed down a boxing club at the end of the road. They closed down the youth centres. They let the playgrounds fall apart. They took away the grants for education. That's why there's kids hanging around the Aylsham looking for trouble. That's why they ain't got nothing to do. I feel myself pressing up against JJ, my eyes sliding sideways onto his face. His brows folding up on itself and his head's nodding slowly like one of them dogs you see in car windows. I can practically smell the anger coming off him. Or maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one giving off the vibes. I'm getting pulled in. The invisible force tugging me closer and closer to the raging man. That's us he's yelling about. That's the shack they shut down. We're the kids hanging round the Aylsham because there ain't nothing else to do. Pop-up services, yells the man, and this roar goes up from the crowd. That's what they are. They make all that noise when they open the place. Then two years later, gone. Them kids do better off not getting involved in the first place. It's cruel, I tell you. It's cruel. Someone in the crowd yells something about university being out of reach for their kids. University? The man throws his hand in the air and kisses his teeth. Please, don't get me started. You know, the politicians on the TV, I hear them talk about social mobility and him say anyone can do anything if they try. You know what I say to that? People start yelling from the crowd, dissing the politicians and cussing. I hug the tote close to my chest, scanning the street again for feds. There's a layer of people around us now. We're being squashed against the bodies in the front. I know I shouldn't be here, but I can't move away. It feels like there's electricity in the air, like we're part of something powerful. Bullshit! The man stabs the air with his finger. That's what that is. They don't know shit. Them people who run this country, they ain't never been on no council estate in their lives. They don't know how we live. You know how many times I've been stopped this year by the police? There's more yelling from the crowd. Mostly hyped up mums saying how many times their boy's been stopped. 62 times! The man snarls in this ugly way, looking left to right like he's checking everyone's heard. Truthfully, maybe some people ain't heard, because now there's so much yelling from the crowd it's getting over crazy. There's youths hollering their own tallies, and older ones raging about racial profiling and such. I can feel JJ nodding next to me. He ain't one to shout in the street, but I know he's feeling it, with everyone else. I know he's caught the charge in the air. And what do they tell me when they stop me in the street and pin me against the wall like a criminal? The man's bellowing now at the top of his voice to compete with his brethren. They tell me to have some respect! The crowd roars and jeers. Respect!
He shakes his head, wiping the sweat from his brow. You know I find it hard to respect someone when they don't got no respect for me. The noise makes my ears hurt. People are cheering and yelling and shifting about, waving fists and pressing in on each other. Must be nearly 100 of us by now. It's like a late night carnival. Everyone joining in. Everyone feeling the same. Except it ain't happiness we're feeling. It's rage. It's already there. The rage. This man ain't starting nothing new. It's all over the streets. The truth is, it ain't just a race thing. They talk like it is on TV and that. But really and truly, it's black against white. Young against old. Authorities against the rest. It's countless of things. There's bare reasons for feeling vexed right now. I stand on tiptoes and check again. Still no feds, but it's only a matter of time. Nerves start to mingle with the rage in my blood. Let's go, I yell in JJ's ear. He nods, but his eyes don't leave the man's twisted face. I tune back in and then I see why. That recording! You know what it reminded me of? His eyes do a sweep of the crowd. I can feel the energy coming off it in waves. Black man in the back of a van being harassed by white men. It reminded me of slavery. Yeah, that's right. Slavery. There's whoops and cries and more crazy yelling. But I ain't feeling it no more. My brain's focused on getting us out of here. And just as I hook my hand round JJ's arms, I spot the familiar black and white in the distance. Two uniforms speeding our way. My heart fires like a machine gun. I've got a grand's worth of food in the tote. That's either 5 years inside or a grand down the drain on top of whatever threats Pop's boys dish out for not getting the peas together on time. We need to get out. I grab onto JJ's arm. Duck to waist height and follow him through the hard-packed flesh and threads. We hit fresh air at the same time, locking eyes for just long enough to check we're both ready to cross. Then we bust through a gap in the traffic. There's a squeal of brakes and some driver yells through his window at me, but I don't care. We're on the other side now. We head down the high shore and take the shortcut through the school, only stopping when we hit the darkness of the alley. A street that's so narrow you'd scrape your wing mirrors driving down it. That was close, blood. I bend over, resting my hands on my knees and panting. The tote's lying heavy against my side, my knuckles tight from gripping. JJ nods, then lets out this loud breath and collapses against the wall. We stay like this for a bit. My heart beats slowly, getting back to normal as the fear slides away. Who was he? I say. JJ's shoulders lift in the darkness. I can just make out his eyes and I clock the glint in them I ain't seen in a while. I don't know, he says, shaking his head, but that man has got a mouth on him. I nod, my thoughts circling round the last words we heard as we split from the crowd. Slavery. That's crazy talk. Even I know that. But it's the kind of talk that gets people going. The kind of talk that leads on to other things. Omar's child's tomorrow, right? I breathe. JJ nods. Then he turns to me and gives me this little smile. Reckon it's gonna get ugly, he says in a tone that makes my belly flip.